What is TWS podcast episode, whatever? Who cares at this point?
Bar.
The rant's been vindicated.
It's my podcast. I do what I want to.
People, listen.
Word, is it still alive?
It's not working for me, Rich. All right, we're going to keep going.
I know I changed my voice at work.
Bars on the radio.
What is TWS podcast?
I'm ready. I feel like the end is staring at my watch and I'm feeling so new school.
Suicide attempts, how many tries to take?
Damn, ready.
All right, so before we get started this week, we want to have a quick moment to remember a supporter of the show, someone I consider family. I know was family to Rich, a mother figure, a great, you know, woman of God, and from what I hear but never got to hear, quite the excellent singer. We want to have a moment of silence for our friend, our supporter, Ms. Sharon Garner. All right, Ms. Garner, Mrs. Garner, I'm sorry. You definitely will be missed. I didn't get to know you long, but definitely had an impact on me and my family while you were here.
Definitely. Much appreciated.
All right, so this is the What Is TWS podcast. As always, I am J.Dot Flynn. And this time, not via the interwebs, but in the building is my brother, Rich Dot Green.
Yo.
Rich Nerd. Damn, I ain't seen you face-to-face like this in a minute, so I'm fucking everything up. Oh, man. Yeah, we are the White Pants Society, and this is the What Is TWS podcast. We somewhere in the hundreds on this. On this episode. Oh man, let me get some music on.
Yeah, we getting up there, getting old.
There we go. Alright, now it feels more like a podcast now. Man, we plan to have a guest that kind of fell through. We getting ready to step out on the town tonight. We're going to an event. The brother Sir Rod is throwing the Mod reunion.
Is it a Men of Distinction?
Men of Distinction. Yeah. Mod. You know.
So should be good.
It's made for an interesting afternoon. I learned some things about myself this afternoon. I learned that my wedding was not only 4.5 years ago, it was also about 25 pounds ago. And I tried to get classy, put on my wedding suit for this event. No go. You ever tried to put some pants on and like the button, like by the time you pulled them up, you realized they were too far apart. Like it wasn't even no point in attempting.
Sometimes you can get away with it, but when you just sometimes you can't bridge that gap.
I saw, like, it wasn't even no point. I tried to like summon the ancestors and stuff and see what I could do, but didn't work out for me. So had to go to plan B. I'm still gonna keep it classy though, and we're gonna head out to this event. This is how you know you old. One, I couldn't find no clothes to fit. Like dad bod is seriously taking over. And two, the idea of being out at 10 o'clock tonight is now feeling like the greatest idea of all time.
Looking at the invitation, it says 10 to 2, and you like, do I got to stay the whole time?
Right, yeah, two is not going to happen. But other than that, I did want to speak on this before we get into our topics. Because I almost started my career as a little kid assaulter. I was about to assault this little boy today. I know that sounded pretty bad, but... I was about to assault this little boy today. It finally happened, Rich. I went into daycare.
Man.
And I'm picking up Elise. And she's like a fan favorite. Those kids love her. Like, I don't know what it is, but those kids, like, love Elise. And she's leaving. And it's a little boy named Jackson. A little black boy, you know. Because that's not a given at my daycare. Down here in Austin, it's a little bit of everything at the daycare. A little black boy named Jackson. I got her in my arms, and he's bye Elise, and I'm telling Elise to tell him bye too, because that's the nice thing to do. I tell Jackson bye, and then I sit her down because Tammy is obviously taking like longer than I wanted to take, and I can't hold that little girl but for so long, so I put her down, and Jackson grabs her by the hands, says, "Give me a kiss."
Ooh.
She kisses him, and then he says, "I love you, Elise." Tell you, Rich. Rich, I'm telling you, Rich, Cases was about to get caught today. I will kick a little kid. I will kick a 2-year-old.
That's crazy.
I'm telling you, parents, you know, fathers of little boys, mothers of little boys, tell your little boys, keep their crusty ass lips off my daughter, because I will punt a 2-year-old. I promise you. And Jackson was on a 3rd and 10. He was about to get punted across that classroom. But I think it might have been Miss Sharon's spirit or the Lord. Somebody tapped me on the shoulder and said, Don't do it, Flynn. But it almost happened. I needed to get that off my chest because Tammy's like, they're just kids. They don't know what the fuck
they know
that.
They know enough.
Kids, my ass. Don't be telling my little girl, give you a kiss. On some player shit, like, give me a kiss. Come here, girl. Kiss me. Nah, I don't go with it, Rich. I can't do it. Can't abide by it. Can't have it.
Maybe he just thinks that's what you're supposed to do. You're supposed to kiss girls. I don't know.
Nah.
You kiss your auntie.
Nah, son.
But the way he was straight, like, G'd up, he was like, hold on. Let me grab some hand. Like, let me talk to you for a second.
Let me look in your eyes.
Come over here real quick. All right, you going home now? All right, bet. So I'm going to see you next week, right?
Right.
It's like, I love you. You know, give me a kiss.
Something to remember you by.
Yeah, game.
Nah, yeah. Little kids' names, little boys with last names for first names. Nah.
That's true. That's the ones you got to be scared of.
I got to add that to my list of people I don't trust. People with pink lips and dudes with last names for first names. Can't trust them. But people, I will kick your kid. I ain't going to punch him. Because I got back problems. I don't want to reach that far down. But I will kick your kid.
Man, that's crazy.
All right, that's all I had. What's going on with you, Rich?
Not much. It was a long week. I'm glad that it's over. Just ready to, I guess, get tonight on the road. See how this networking goes.
Yeah, we're going to do some networking. We're going to do grown folks hang out with a grown and sexy. I sound really excited. No, it's going to be a good event. Like, Rod always throws.
It's always a good event, so I'm looking forward to it.
We had a great time at the tailgate the last time we hung out with Sir Rod, so yeah, looking forward to tonight. Finally get to put on my hard bottom to step out.
All right, so I'm looking at the list that you put together. Where did the triple pause come from?
Pause of the week.
I
gotta find a sound effect for it. But man, what were we talking about? We were talking about this event. We were having a conversation about shit I ain't gonna discuss on the podcast because we cheap. We was having a conversation about the financial ramifications of this event.
Yeah.
And we were talking, and then you took it upon yourself to like go straight to the source, ask the question, get the answer. And so here's the infamous.
Oh, I remember it now.
Here's the infamous triple pause. Rich went out, got the answer that we needed. My response was, my man, no beating around the bush, just straight to the point. Triple pause. That's epic. That's the pause of the week.
I definitely remember it.
Courtesy of your boy J-Dot Flynn. One more time for you. My man, no beating around the bush, straight to the point. Triple pause.
Boom. Pause of the week. We'll get some good audio for that one.
Alright, so moving on. Let's get these bullshit stories out the way. The shit I don't care about but have to report section. That's the boy Mike responded. So these are some things I've seen in the last couple weeks that I felt like it might be necessary to just touch upon, but I really don't care that much. I don't know, Rich, if you heard about this Scientology starting a TV network.
Did it?
Yeah, the Church of Scientology is starting their own television network. And the craziest shit to me was that tagline. The tagline being, the only thing more interesting than the stories you've heard are the ones you haven't. Motherfucker, I bet. I bet they are, man. So I'm a little interested. I do kind of want to. Because the more you hear about the Church of Scientology, the crazier and crazier it sounds. I probably shouldn't be saying this stuff because they listening and it's just going to be niggas outside my dad. Are there any black people in Scientology?
I don't even know. Not that I heard of besides Eddie Murphy and Bowfinger.
Was Isaac Hayes a Scientologist?
Was he?
I think that was the thing that ended his relationship with South Park. Was something about the Church of Scientology. I think Ozzy Hayes might have
what
been.
What was that movie that Tom Cruise did when he had that orgy?
Eyes Wide Shut.
So every time I hear Scientology, I immediately think Eyes Wide Shut. And what's that other one with Selma Hayek in it? Not Selma Hayek, the other one. Anyway, I think that
Vanilla Sky.
Yeah, yeah. I immediately think Eyes Wide Shut and Vanilla Sky, and that you just all of them walking around like all day, like those two movies are representing. And I have no idea why I feel that way. That's just Scientology.
If you want to understand Scientology,
go see those two movies.
Eyes Wide Shut, Vanilla Sky.
Yeah, I have no idea why I feel that way, but
I had such high hopes for Vanilla Sky. And it's still one of those movies to this day where I'm like, maybe I just didn't get it. Like, maybe I need to watch it one more time.
How many times?
And it's all going to click, and I'm going to get it.
I've seen it a few times, and I still don't know what the fuck. I don't know.
I don't get it. Let's see. Your boy, I'm going to let you take that one.
I'm hoping this is not true. You know, apparently Fab got into altercation with the baby mom's girlfriend from a long time, Emily. And beat a face in, knocked out her tooth. So first it said he hit her so many times in the face that her two front teeth was crooked, and ultimately she lost them. They had to be taken out, or he knocked them out, or
this is how I know I'm foul. This is how I know I'm a horrible person, and like the proof keeps coming every day. But the first thing that came to my mind was he trying to give her a matching chip too? That's the first thing. I'm sorry,
but the way the social media is running with it, and they caught a picture of Fab with a turtleneck on with a bunch of gold chains, and they was like, "Yo, she should have known it was gonna happen." He had his Ike Turner woman beating turtleneck on. I was just like, I didn't mean to laugh.
He had the Ike Turner uniform on.
He had the uniform on. You should've known what was going down. She should have known. He had his sleeves rolled up, a turtleneck, and three gold chains.
Y'all more foul than I am,
man.
All right, see, Ray Allen dropped a book. I only read a couple of little excerpts from it and some of the reactions. I know he said he and Rajon Rondo, is that the nigga name? Hey, whatever. Rajon Rondo didn't get along. He tried to offer Rondo some free throw tips, and that's when the relationship went sour. He wasn't passing the ball on the court anymore, and may have had something to do with his exit from Boston. He also says that KG is his favorite player to ever play with. Never took a night off, but he also gave no fucks when it came to people not on his team. He talked about a story where I want to say it was Joaquin Noah was asking KG about his fadeaway jump shot, and KG told him, "Get off my dick." So from what I hear, KG plays no games, gives no fucks on the court if you're not on his squad.
That's crazy.
Shouts to KG. And Ray Allen was definitely one of my favorite players. I'm a Jesus Shuttlesworth fan.
Who doesn't like Ray Allen?
You know, and then he played for the Sonics, which was my squad. Really wish Seattle would get a team back. But I don't know. He's been kind of drugged through the mud these last couple of years. So I might have to cop the book and read it. It's only like 260 pages or something.
I thought you was about to say dollars. I was about to say what?
Shit. Yeah. You know what I would do if it was $260. That's what the internet is for.
Download.
Piracy. It's wrong. I don't do that. Probation officer. I promise. And let's see.
All right. So this last one, I was totally confused the first time I read it because it says Red Indian Ice Cream.
Yeah.
And it's, I read it without the, I'm thinking it's just like Red Indian Ice Cream, not Red Indian Ice Cream. You know, see, this is where punctuation comes in. Right, so but I'm reading it and I'm like, which one with red? Because I eat the red bean ice cream like all the time. And
what
it's
is red
fun.
Bean ice cream?
It's like the red bean, and they it's real sweet when you cook it down and they turn it into ice cream.
Yeah, I don't know.
So, I don't want to say it's an Asian thing, but that's the only place I get it from is Asian markets.
Sounds like it's
an Asian restaurant, but I've had it in New York several times. But yeah, so I'm thinking it's that until I finally click on the link that you sent and I read the story, and I'm like, they really, as a flavor of the week, made a flavor of ice cream called Red Indian?
Apparently. So this is a ice cream shop in Michigan. But apparently they've had this, like this flavor has existed for 50 years and they've been serving it at this location for 30 years. And yeah, it's Red Indian. It's made with the little red hot candies. Mm-hmm. So it's like a cinnamon spicy sort of ice cream. And so yeah, definitely. And some people, some, all right, help me out, Rich. Help me, PC Police. What's the term?
Individuals?
I can't say is it not Native American or what is
American
it?
Indian?
American Indian. All right. Some American Indian individuals in Michigan are now up in arms about this flavor, wanting it removed from the menu. And then there's also some members of the Indian community in that same area who've been taking pictures of themselves with cones of the ice cream in support of the flavor. So immediately it reminded me a little bit of the Redskin situation.
That's immediately what I thought. Because you're going to look at all of this going on over here and just say, I'll be okay.
I mean, but they've been doing it for 30 years, according to them. You know, they've been doing it for a minute. Like, this ain't new. This is all of a sudden now we in a state
social
where
media.
If anybody is offended by something, you got to stop doing it. And I'm going to say this, and this is going to sound foul, but, like, you got to take it, sit on it, think about it for a couple of days, pause, and then come back to it. But, and this is only, I'm only talking about this case. Like, I'm going to separate the Redskin thing because theirs is sort of legal. Like, you can't, whether or not you can legally trademark an offensive term, like, that's another subject. I don't think this is a trademark issue. But here's my thing, right? If you do something, if you're a business or an individual, and you do something that's offensive, and then people get up in arms and they demand that you stop doing it, if there's no legal recourse, like, if what you're doing is not against the law, which sounds like in this case, Red Indian ice cream is not against the law.
Yeah.
You do have some supporters. And you do have some people who are demanding that you change it. Well, if you're willing to accept the consequences of whatever their demand is, like if they say, we demand you change it, and if you don't, we just won't shop there, and you're like, cool, shouldn't that be the end of the discussion? Like, if you're okay with losing...
Yeah, and then it's what do they do now?
Yeah, it's like, what?
What else are you going to do to sway them and
like,
to try to get
your
way? You
can't somebody just because you don't like it. I don't mean to... You know, sound harsh because it's not offensive. It's not directed toward my demographic.
Yeah.
So, you know, I don't have a personal stake in it. Maybe I should. I don't know. You know, what is it? Injustice to anyone is injustice to everyone, or, you know, that kind of stuff.
Even if you don't believe in it.
Yeah, I mean, but even
see,
if it's not.
And I think some on a certain level that's true, but it has to be like an actual injustice, like an actual social injustice. This, see, now I don't want to sound like I'm minimizing it, but
go there, Rich. Go there. This is what I'm saying, Rich. I plan to say a lot of things that I know someone is going to take offense.
Yeah, I mean,
and if I say it, and I'm okay with the fact that because you take offense to it, you won't listen, or you won't watch, or you won't support. Mm-hmm. I think that's the end of the discussion.
Yeah, and you're right. And I feel like bottom line. If that community feels like they feel a way about it, then, you know, we should be up in arms about it. But I can't be up in arms or upset for someone who's not offended. So if you're out here and you eating ice cream and you thinking it's good and you got tons of people who are supporting the brand, then I mean, okay, I can't be offended for you. And I don't think people should be hyping it up and claiming that they should be offended too. Like, stop pushing the rhetoric. Like you said, if it is what it is at this point. If they got supporters and it's not 100%, you know, people against it, they got people out there buying it every week, evidently. They're not shutting down anytime soon. So, yeah, walk away.
I mean, it's like the... I don't mean to throw more shit on it, but it's like the Monique situation. If you ain't got the juice that your boycott is going to break them, then... You know? Like, what?
Yeah.
You know,
I get it.
So, it's like, yeah, you find it offensive, so then don't eat it. And if that forces them to change it, you know, because you fuck with them economically, well, then you win. But if you can't,
yeah, if you ain't holding no cards, then
you might have to take that. You just don't eat there no more.
That just
and they don't
me.
Get your money no more. And even trade, we good.
All right, not to throw us off topics, but so that reminded me of another one that I just saw online. I feel like I know what you're going to say, but I want your opinion anyway. So there's been a bunch of vegan protests outside of this. Vegan protests outside of this restaurant. And because he serves meat, obviously, you know, and they're against them. They've been protesting outside of his restaurant like every day, picketing, putting up signs, talking to customers on their way in. Finally, on the fifth day, the owner, he's like had enough. He doesn't go out there. He doesn't confront them. He doesn't do anything. What he does is he sets up at the front of the restaurant. He sets up a table. Gets a butcher block, some knives.
My nigga.
And then he gets a whole deer leg, fillets, butchers, and trims the entire deer leg.
My man.
In the window in my front of all man. The vegans in his shop.
My man.
And you know, they're all like super butthurt. Like, oh my God, he's doing this just to hurt us. You know, how
shouts,
disrespectful can he be? And then,
to you.
And in my head, it's like, well, you're outside of his shop.
His establishment.
And you're being disrespectful to him. Only, like, you're messing with his clientele. You're messing with his
messing
money,
with
his business.
Money. Yeah.
He's not doing anything but, you know, filleting yeah. the day's course.
Yeah, I, mean,
I thought it was petty, super petty, like
super
petty as shit. And I was like.
Yeah, man.
First thing that came around was Denzel.
I co-signed now, my man. Yeah, I like that one. Yeah, you lost me at vegan protests. It's like, what? Like, but is that really like the only thing that they are they protesting simply for the fact that he serves meat?
Like, that he's serving meat and like killing animals and stuff as if being vegan, you're killing vegetables, you're killing flowers, you're still killing something. You know, vegetables are living, breathing.
Something dies for you to live.
So I mean,
I'm not a vegan. I'm not gonna say something like I don't support vegans. You know, like if that's what you want to do,
mm-hmm.
awesome. Like, but
that has no bearing on me.
Yeah, it doesn't mean I can't eat meat or you should. But you know, I also always say, you know, the only thing you can do whatever you want to do, other than tell somebody else how to feel about it.
Yeah.
And so, you know, if he's gonna eat meat, he gotta know that there're gonna be people now that don't like him because he eats meat. They gotta know that it's gonna be people that don't care that they don't like him because they eat meat. And like, here we are. Like,
yeah,
you outside my restaurant. I got to live with that. Well, if you want to stand out there, then you got to live with this deer leg.
That shit was petty as fuck.
Petty as fuck.
I watched that video twice because I was like, I've been trying to look at their faces as he was cutting. And I was like, oh my God, what kind of animal is that? It was funny. I'm going to send you the link. It was funny as fuck.
I'm laughing. No, I'm not. Hey, if I sound a little under the weather, people, I apologize. I don't know if it's allergies or what, but something's fucking with me right now. All right, so I want to get to this lyric of the week because it kind of ties into where we're going to go after that. This one is from Black Milk. I did not write down the song, but it's from off his new album, Fever. Black Milk, one of my favorite artists, producers, rappers. Detroit is putting out some shit right now. But Black Milk, new album, Fever. The lyric is, if you can't stand up, when a fellow officer shoot a kid with his hands up, I don't know who we can trust. And it was a dope line because in the song, what he's pretty much trying to say is it's not so much like the Black Lives Matter agenda or whatever, but if other officers, like if a police officer can kill an innocent unarmed person, and the police community can't say it was wrong, like that's the problem. Like,
exactly. Ownership.
Like, yeah, if your excuse is always going to be is a couple bad apples, would you got to raise the standard to try to eliminate the bad apples, because bad apples are costing lives. Like, if you act like we can't be mad when y'all do something wrong, that's the problem. You should be mad too. You should be up in arms because an innocent person lost their lives for no fucking reason. So shout out to Black Milk, dope line. Hip hop lives.
I thought that was a dope line too.
All right, so I'm gonna skip over and go straight to Stephon Clark.
Yeah, I figured that.
I'm gonna go straight to Stephon Clark. So, I've been trying to get up to speed on exactly what happened in this situation, but
the Sacramento shooting.
Did
you watch the video?
I didn't. You know,
so I watched this.
I watched a little bit of the like the infrared, from the helicopter shit before they lost, because somehow the helicopter ended up on the side where they couldn't see what was happening.
Mysteriously rather. But yeah, I saw that, and then I actually watched the body cam footage.
Okay.
So basically they were tracking an individual who they said was trying to break into homes, break into cars, whatever. And the helicopter was directing the police exactly where to go to. The helicopter loses them. Somehow they then end up upon Stephon Clark, and mind you, he's in his backyard. So it's like, one, they roll up on him, and it's not like he's doing anything out of the ordinary from what I can see.
So the story that I heard was that they encountered him in the front and he ran around to the back. Right. And then they followed him back there.
It did not look like they followed him from the video that I saw. It looked like he was just back there.
All right.
Either way, he was, you know, on his property.
Yeah.
And they didn't say we're police. They didn't announce themselves. If a group of dudes just run up on you and they're screaming at you, I'm probably going to motherfucking panic, to tell you the truth. But yeah, they ran up on him. They screamed at him. And then immediately after screaming at him, you hear the other officer just say gun. They run up on him. Put your hands up. Gun. And then everybody unloads. 20 shots.
So those are my first problems with it. Is one, it was like 4-on-1, right? Mm-hmm. It's four police officers and him. Why does it take 5 shots from each one of y'all? Mm-hmm. You know, they didn't hit him 20 times, but they fired what, 21 rounds?
Yeah.
21 rounds. I was listening to Steve Harvey this morning, and he was saying, like, there's gotta be, like, they gotta create a whole new, like, training for how to arrest non-white suspects. Like, because they obviously, they don't know how to do it. Like, it just, it goes,
know
I mean, how, 21
or is it no how, or
shots,
is it gives no fucks.
That's what it's saying. It feels like
they
give no fucks.
And they keep using that excuse that, oh, they were scared. They scared for their life.
It's 4-on-1.
4-on-1, he's standing there by himself, and y'all got SWAT gear, and y'all feared for your lives. But the dudes who are actually out here shooting up churches who got semi-automatics and bombs and shit, and y'all didn't fear for your lives then, and they actually got some shit to fight back with.
It's pretty crazy. 21 shots. I don't understand the justification on 21 shots. Like,
and that's what made me watch it. After seeing it so many times, I was like, it can't be this bad.
Like, we don't know how to shoot people in the leg and how to take somebody down. Mm-hmm. Where's the tasers at? We always seeing somebody getting tased. Mm-hmm. Like, where's the tasers at? Like,
and that's the thing. They're supposed to shoot to incapacitate, to immobilize.
Yeah, you can't shoot 21 times to immobilize nothing. You shoot anything 21 times, you're probably going
to
kill.
Yeah, they're shooting to kill.
So,
and they're probably going to get off.
Yeah, we get no charge. So we keep having these situations, and no charges filed. It's getting crazy out here. I saw his brother interrupt the
council
meeting.
I saw that.
You saw that one? And he was just like, say his name, like, you know, like, is a person. Like, a person died. An individual is gone. Can never do another thing, you know, good or bad on this earth. They can't impact anybody else's lives. They can't raise their children. They can't contribute to society in any way. They're gone. And it can't be oops. You know what I mean? Like, we got to get past the oops. Mm-hmm. Bad apple. Shit happens.
It's crazy that every year it's another name for us to immortalize.
It's like
every year it's another name to the list.
It's getting insanely frequent.
Too close, yeah. It's too close.
Insanely frequent. And again, this is one of them situations where I'm like, we got to start with an admission. Like, we got to start with an acknowledgement that there is a problem. Please stop telling us that we crazy.
Gaslighting
the shit out of people, right? Yeah. Stop telling us that we crazy and nothing is wrong. Say, yes, something is very wrong and we're doing everything we can to fix it. Stop telling us it's our fault we get killed. Stop telling us, you know, he feared for his life. But he shouldn't be a police officer if a person with a cell phone is going to scare him enough to shoot 21. Now, you know, can't do this anymore. Like, we need an admission. Somebody's got to come out in public and say, yes, it is a problem, and this is what we are doing to address it, you know, and be held accountable for it, and show us, you know, have some transparency. It just feels like it's a brotherhood, and you can go out here and you can
do whatever.
You can do whatever, and we got you. If you can't stand up when a fellow officer shoot a kid with his hands up, I don't know who we can trust. And you don't want us to reach a point where we don't trust the government. We don't trust law enforcement. We feel like we got to protect ourselves against you. You don't want that to happen. And we try not to get there, but you're making it like insanely tough at this point. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm a person who normally don't go to that militant, you know, who tries to, you know,
but it's like you don't have a choice.
But it's like, yeah, you leaving me without choice. I don't have a defense for this. When people come to me like, fuck the police, I'm running out of shit to say. And I'm trying, you know.
Yeah. And So before I left the house to come over here, I read a meme online, and it got me to thinking about the same exact thing and how they keep changing the rules and keep changing the expectations. This dude put online, black folks are expected to have emerged from 400 years of slavery and Jim Crow mentally unscathed, but motherfuckers expect me to understand how a geek from the suburbs can be triggered into a bombing or shooting rampage because people was giving him wedgies in high school. And they're serious. Leave him alone. You know, he was being bullied.
He was troubled.
That justifies him bombing for almost a month, terrorizing the state of Austin, the city of Austin, fucking with bombs. And we're supposed to be understanding of that. But we immediately have to forget the past 500 plus years that happened and not feel a way about that overnight.
I think that is even oversimplified because it's not forgetting. I think a lot of people, especially, I'm going to say it, millennials. I think a lot of millennials don't necessarily identify with the 400 years, the Jim Crow, you know, the shit that was happening, segregation, all that was happening. That is like a distant memory to an entire generation. But they got to deal with what's happening right now. It hasn't stopped. Mm-hmm. It's still happening right now. And you're still treating us like when we say it, we crazy. Like we don't see what we're seeing. Like you said, the gaslighting the fuck out of
America.
Like,
yeah.
Like, It's so infuriating.
It's fucking and what makes it infuriating is it's blatant.
Like, I'm blatant. Looking at it, and you keep telling
me, "No, you didn't."
That's not what you saw. And then it happens again. So I didn't see it this time, but this is it, right? It happened this time.
You're wrong.
Okay, all right. Okay, it just happened again. Right now, this time for sure. Nah. You know what I'm saying? Like you're insulting people,
and that's the shit that kills me, the shit that's going on. And granted, it's other shit out there, school shootings and stuff like that. And not to dismiss it, but you see a school shooting, and people rally around it, and they're like, okay, how do we try to fix this? They acknowledge that something happened, and they're trying to fix it. And I think that's the major difference that you're trying to highlight here.
Yeah,
school shootings have absolutely become the new fucking normal. Like, it doesn't make sense how often they happen, but at least there's a conversation around it and both parties are on board and they're trying to do something. But every time a black man gets shot, there's no repercussion. The police officer walks, damn, you know what, 95% of the time, nobody's getting arrested.
We immediately go to the, well, was there a justification? You know, at some point, there has to be little to no justification for a police officer murdering an unarmed civilian. We got to reach a point where police officers are well trained enough that killing an unarmed civilian is such a rarity that when it happens, you immediately assume fault on the police. Like, he didn't follow his training somehow, and he's got to now prove that he was justified. It seems like we have to prove that he was unjustified in killing someone, mm-hmm, rather than him prove that he was justified.
And the part that kills me,
it's a murder.
Is they're held in such high esteem,
like they can't do no wrong.
Yeah, but why aren't they held also to a higher standard? Exactly.
Like, you telling us to learn how to deal with police better. Tell police to learn how to deal with us better. We're not killing them. They're killing us.
And once again, they chose that job. You chose this. You go to McDonald's and you got irate customers. You can't get mad because you're dealing with irate customers. You chose this job. You need to learn how to deal with motherfucking irate customers. You need to learn how to deal with fucking people. You're a police officer. You chose to protect and serve. Yeah. Not protect, serve, and knock off a black nigga every chance you get.
And it's, I don't want nobody to get me wrong. I want us to be able to respect the police. I want us to be able to have good and positive relationships with law enforcement. I need law enforcement. I go places. I'll tell this story. When I was back in D.C., I gotta tell people all the time, the one thing you don't want to do in the hood is look like you don't belong there.
Mm-hmm.
And it was late night. I was at a bus stop, and I started like looking down the street to see when the bus coming. And I was doing things that made it clear that I didn't know exactly where I was or how I was going to get where I was going. And of course, that drew the attention of the wrong kind of people. And I happened to be standing like 200 or 300 feet from like a little police kiosk station. So the first thing I did was go walk over in front of, I mean, it was the most bitch move possible, but I had to do what I had to do to live that night, because I ain't had no money and I didn't want nobody to shoot me because they tried to rob me and couldn't get shit. So, you know, I went and stood in front of this little police kiosk. It wasn't even nobody in there, but I was depending on law enforcement, you know, to protect me.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to be able to do that. But when these situations keep happening, like I said, the rhetoric that starts coming up now, the conspiracy theories that start coming up now, we're running out of ways to defuse them. I saw something on Facebook the other day where the dude was like, you know, when the Ku Klux Klan infiltrates the police, then you have police officers with a license to kill. Mm-hmm. And it's like, for a lot of people now, that's ringing too true. It's difficult to defeat that. Like,
my shit bricks.
You know what I'm saying? It starts to make sense to a lot of people.
Every time I see a cop on the highway, I'm shitting bricks. I'm not even doing anything. So I'm under the speed limit. No contraband. Paperwork. Everything is good. Nothing wrong with the car. And I shit bricks every single time. Because I just never know what's going to come out of that experience. And it's effed up. Because I've had positive experiences with police. Yeah. But then I've also had negative ones. And the fact that all of us share that common experience, where nine out of ten black guys I know can give you a bad story with police, and yet the number shouldn't be that high.
Yeah. And I, you know, and it's sad to say, like I was getting okay with, you know, being profiled or knowing they're gonna stop me or they're gonna ask me some questions. That was starting not to bother me so much, but now it's like I might die. You know. Like, I could deal with it's too many of us together in this car. We're probably going to get pulled over.
Yeah, and I hate it.
Fuck it. You know, we're going to, all right, everybody be quiet. You know, let's get through this. Now, we had reached that point, and that's fucked up that we had to reach that point. But now it's like, niggas like, call your mom, tell her you love her. We don't know if we're coming home tonight. You know,
mm-hmm.
you don't want to.
Man, I got pulled over on the way up to drop off everything, fill out the paperwork, do everything for the funeral services, right?
Yeah.
And they pull us over, and it's just, we're all in a car because I drove, so we just all carpooling together. And the guy pulls up. First of all, he did some BS flanking maneuver, like he's in front, and then he comes to the side, and he slowed down, so then I slowed down. So then he slowed down more. Like, he was purposely trying to force me to go faster than him so he can pull up behind me and pull me over. And he comes up on the passenger side, does all of that crap, and he's like, where you going? And, you know, everybody just super quiet. And, you know, Larry, he's just like, you know, my wife just died. We're trying to make it to the funeral home.
Yeah.
You know, and he's looking at him. And finally, everything, whatever, he ends up letting us go. Because it was nothing. He's like, I can give you a ticket. But he's like, what's the point? It's just going to be needless paperwork, basically. Ticket for the sake of giving you a ticket. Just, you know, you guys behave and have a nice day. But, you know what I mean?
Yeah, we shouldn't have those tense moments. All right, I'm gonna try to lighten the room a little bit. Speaking of other people we can't trust, they raping niggas at Howard University. They embezzling student aid money. Did you hear about this?
Shit, this is crazy.
It's the HBCU. You go there because it's like you're going to be amongst fam. Nah. Mm-hmm. They're going to take care of you. And they out here stealing from the kids. Man, dude got, what they say, he got like $430,000.
That shit is crazy.
He's living good.
Can't trust nobody.
I'm just gonna add that to the reasons why I ain't go to college now. Honestly, I feel like I should have got my degree, but these days I'm like, I don't need no degree to do a podcast, nigga. Like, I don't know, but yeah, that is crazy, man. Like, who can you trust?
You're embezzling it. Like, so what happens at the end of the day? Do I gotta pay that back again? I gotta look at that and get all the details.
Yeah, I think they wasn't getting the student aid, like the grants were being paid out, but wasn't going to. I don't really understand how it was going. Yeah. All I know is they saying that this one particular dude walked away with like $430,000.
That shit is crazy.
And I know that they were doing a sit. I don't know if they're still doing the sit in. They had started a sit in. I think they were in there like at least 2 days. I don't know if it's still ongoing, but
Speaking of college, so did you happen to see that press conference that LeBron had maybe like a week, 2 weeks ago, talking about colleges and how what they're doing to these students and, you know, trying to give them scholarships is not enough because the colleges are getting paid so much that it still doesn't work out. And he was saying how the NBA really needs to revamp what they're doing, revamp the G League, the D League, and, you know, get these students, just give them another option. So today, or this was, I don't know if it's today or yesterday, we got our first one. Dude had actually committed to St. John's, to Syracuse, and he rescinded it. He decommitted. Yeah,
he's going to go play the D-League.
Yeah, he's going to play the D-League. G-League. It was the D-League, not the G-League. Yeah, but, so, yeah, they got his first one. I mean, he's only going to get, you know, $26K, but $26K to cover, you know, expenses and minor, you know, miscellaneous
I
stuff.
I guess at that point, he's a professional athlete.
Yeah.
So he can accept
endorsements and everything. That's what I'm saying. So he, you know, you get to pay. He'll end up coming off better.
Yeah.
And then, you know,
and he only has to do that for like a year.
Mm-hmm.
And then he can go pro.
Exactly.
And he's been playing against pros.
Exactly. Know, so they feel a lot better. They're more comfortable. But then also, weren't they talking about getting rid of one and done again anyway?
I don't know. I got feelings about the whole NCAA situation. It is a lot of money. These schools, that March Madness, that NCAA tournament,
bro,
the rights to air those games,
money.
Billions of dollars. I mean, I personally could not imagine being 19, 20 years old, seeing a kid with a jersey with my name on the back, and I can't get nothing off.
Yeah, nothing.
I can't get nothing. He wants my autograph, and I can't get nothing off that. You got my face on posters.
Mm-hmm.
You got my likeness all over the place, and I can't see nothing. I mean, if you're saying free education, I get it.
But if I was being paid, I could pay for my own education.
That, and then like I went to Marquette, and like just the schedule for how those guys, you know, where they have to be, practice times, going on the road, coming back. And the schools can't do anything to, like, accommodate that. So if the cafeteria closes at 9 o'clock and practice don't end until 9:30, the school can't keep the cafeteria open so the ball players can eat, because that's, you know, that's violating NCAA rules. So there are things that happen to these kids. And can you imagine having to be a student during March Madness?
Mm-hmm.
Like, you're not...
No,
when the last time these kids been to class?
And that's what I'm saying. And they still responsible for it's not like
the student. They got to keep their grades up. They got to stay
eligible.
It's
not like before where they was just writing their way, nah, we going to make you pass all your classes. Nah, they on top of the academic portion.
So it's a hustle to be a student athlete. You could give them something, you know.
They really are. And I've seen tons of videos. They're really out here in their room with oodles of noodles and tuna.
While people is wearing your jersey, they wearing your jersey with your name on the back of it. That is crazy. I could not imagine it being anything with my likeness on it.
19 years old, your autograph being worth that much money, and you can't get paid off of your autograph.
You can sign it, give it to somebody, and they can go sell it and make the money. And if anybody traces any of that money coming back to you,
it's a wrap.
It's a wrap for you. So, yeah, it's a woosah. Woosah. Luckily, I'm short and out of shape, so I never had those kind of things to take into consideration.
Man.
I was trying to get an academic scholarship, but I wasn't bright enough to go to class, so it didn't work out for me. And that's why I'm podcasting. See, everything happens for a reason. The Lord works in mysterious ways.
Amen.
Who does? It's a comedian that has a fucked up laugh. Oh, you know what I always wanted to be able to do? I always wanted to be able to do that Jadakiss raspy shit. That, whatever. I can't do it. I sound like Ronald McDonald or something when I try to do it. But I always wanted to do it. I always wanted to try to have a rap laugh. Like Jadakiss joint is is, you know, well known. And then Jay-Z got a pretty cool rap laugh. He got that Elmer Fudd shit.
Mm-hmm. I used to know how to do it. Now I can't. Do something like Elmer Fudd.
He got that Elmer Fudd shit, but it sound cool when Jay does it. I always wanted to rap live when I was trying to do my verses, so I never could really.
Should he just meet us at the place?
What time is it? Oh shit, we talking on the podcast. All right, so yeah, we getting ready to make this move to the Mar reunion. It's gonna be a dope night. This also shows that we have no idea what we're doing when it comes to like promo. By the time this episode airs, we would have already gone and the event would be over. So we're gonna promote an event after it occurred. But that's how dope the What Is TWS podcast is. We can do shit like that. But that's all I got, Rich. You got anything else?
No, I'm good. You know, good. Just stay up.
All right, I gotta try to put this shirt on, see if this shirt fits. I really was slim and trim back in the day.
Who are you telling?
I don't know what happened.
Man, I had the perfect jacket, dinner jacket in the closet. Can't fit it.
Can't fit it. It hurts. All right, folks. But until we speak again, be safe and be the light.
Peace.
Peace.